Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, just for the sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place, Lord. Thank you for your presence being with us, not only here, but inside of us as we even leave this place, Lord. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying, and broken world. So, Lord, we ask that the pages jump into our heart, Lord. We would not only hear it, but we would do it and we would live it. Have it make sense to us, Lord. Make it plain. Make it practical. We can live this thing, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many, by a show of hands, how many have not eaten yet this morning? Amen. Well, I hope y'all been praying and fasting during service, man. Y'all, if you haven't, you've been missing out on an incredible amount of power that's available to you. Amen. I hope you have been. Amen. And imagine if you're praying and fasting 365 days out of the year, it will change your life. I challenge you to put it into practice. Amen. So we are at Revelation 22. I'm all over the place. And I hope you all can just follow me with my train of thought here. But last week, 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we talked about the life last week. The life was not in the water. The life was in the life giver, which is God. Our science students in here, they told me that water is just H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. That's all it is. So the life comes from God, which gives us life. So make sure you make a note of that. It's not in the water. It's in the life. And the life comes from God. Water is just water without the life of God breathing into it. So then I'm going to attempt to go through verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. So if this is the river, we got a tree right here. On each side, we got another tree. We got another tree. They're all the tree of life. So just make a note that God reminds us, it's life all around us. Every time you see a tree, be reminded that God is alive and the life comes from God. When I looked up tree, it was just a tree. It said wood. The life is not in the tree. The life is in God who gives life. All right. We can save the trees. We can save the planet. We can do all that. That's okay. But the life is not in the trees. It's not in the rocks. It's not in the water. The life comes from God. So make sure you understand that when we get to talk, this is talking about the glory of God, the doxa, the beauty, the brilliance of God. It's life all around us. It's water flowing, but it's not life in the water. It's not life in a tree. The life comes from God. So as I even attempt to share some of this, let's go to Revelation. You might not even have to turn the page. Revelation 21. And I was trying to keep this short, but I just had to read the whole thing. So 21:4-8. I was just trying to get to the part where it said all things become new. All right. That's all I was trying to go to. But I'm going to read it all just because it's there. But as I'm trying to explain the tree of life and the leaves and all that, remember, it's all new. So I'm just speculating because God said, behold, I'm making all things new. So whatever it is, since we've never seen it before, because it's new, then we really don't know because it's all new. But that's a beautiful thing that it's all new. So I'm going to try and speculate when I go back to 22. But remember, in 21, let's start at 4. And God shall wipe all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Somebody say amen. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Underline that. So there you go. So when I, in 22, I am just speculating because God has made all things new. So regardless of what's gone on before, we're done with that. So don't spend too much time with stuff that ain't going to even be around forever. It's going to be all new. Don't let the old stuff keep you all jacked up. Somebody say amen. It's a scripture paraphrase, Sister Tara. Don't let the old stuff keep you all jacked up. Because God's making it new. I'm trying. Amen. Me too. Verse 5 again. He said, he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I'll make all things new." He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Said unto me, "It's done." Underline that. It's done. That's why you don't let the old stuff keep you jacked up, because all things are going to become new and it's done. Like when Christ was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's done." Said unto me, "It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." There is the water again. But remember, the life isn't in the water. It's coming from God, who gives to us freely. The life, the Zoe. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And I had to read verse 8 because it's there. "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is that great barbecue. I'm sorry, which is the second death. So we see that everybody's not going to make it. And we see that God gives freely. We've already determined God does not discriminate. We discriminate against God. And I will show you that in just a minute. Amen. All right. So now let's go back to Revelations 22 and 2. So I just wanted to show you that as we're talking about trees and leaves, I'm speculating because it's all new. But when you see a tree, so I was driving, I was looking and counting the trees. There's many of them. We're reminded of the life that we have through Jesus Christ. 22 and 2, in the middle of the street of it. Remember, the streets are as fine, clear glass, but they're made of gold. And remember, that's new. So we can only speculate on how beautiful that would look. The midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. And provided and promised, and what was the other word I had? Provided, produced, and promised her fruit every month. Somebody say, God provides every month. I looked up month to see if it was anything other than that, and it was month. All right? So can somebody attest that some kind of way, I don't know how we make it from month to month, but some kind of way we do. Somebody say amen. Keep it real. Amen. And God, hey, but he, and that doesn't stop. God continues to provide. But I looked at the manner of fruit, and it says fruits. So it's 12 fruits. So I just thought about that. You have one tree that has 12 fruits that just yield every month. And so, you know, I just like to just speculate and think. But I mean, what fruits have to be on a tree? What's the favorite? What's the best fruit when it's sweet and it's ripe? What has to be on that tree? A mango. All right, Kathy, we got one. So that's one.
An orange.
A pear. A peach. A plum. A pineapple. Cherry's got to be there. Nectarines. A kumquat. Okay, Roy. Well, we still got room for three more. Nobody going to put a watermelon on there? Y'all just trying to.
Watermelon.
I know how y'all get down. Nobody wants to say that one. But anyway. Okay, we got an apple and some figs. That's 12. That's it. No apricots. No plumograms, as we used to call them. That's a plumogram. It's old ghetto L.A. lingo. We had a plumogram tree in the backyard for years until we realized they were pomegranates. Okay. 12 manner fruits. That's a beautiful thing. And every month. So will we be vegetarians? I don't know. We'll have on our, we'll be in our transformed bodies. All things will be new. But hey, every month. But look what it says. And the leaves, I looked up leaves, and the leaves were just a leaf. So it's no power in the leaves. It's no power in the tree. It's no power in the water. But it says, for the tree were for the healing, underline healing of the nations. Nations means all the humans, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. So everybody will be in heaven. Some of everybody will be in heaven. Not everybody, but some of everybody will. So remember, if you're a racist or any other kind of ist, you won't be there because you're going to be surrounded. It says the nations. Nations means tribe. It means kindred. It means the human family. And the word healing meant therapy. So the leaves are there for the therapy. So for whatever reason, we're going to need therapy in heaven. I say amen. Hey, but after dealing with this jacked up world, somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's going to have to unpack a lot of stuff. And so some of us might have to get a head start on our therapy. That's okay. It's okay. We need people to talk to. We need to go see trained people that we can talk to. Amen. But we know that the ultimate healing comes from God. But it's okay to talk to other people. When I talk to the brothers in here, I try and call at least one a week and we talk. That's therapy right there. Man, I need to talk to a real brother as we're trying to navigate through this world. Somebody who's walking strong and someone who's trying to walk strong, who there ain't no judgment. Just like we're men trying to walk through this thing. It's therapy right there. We need it. Sometimes it has a negative connotation, but it's okay to go seek someone for advice. And God says it right here. And it's for all the nations. So when I looked at that, I wanted to look up a little bit more on nations. So let's go to Revelation 7. I wanted to see what that was talking about. So Revelation 7. 7 and 9. Thank God for the church, the therapy that comes from going to church. You know, we should always feel better after coming to church. Amen. So after praising and worshiping and casting all your cares upon God, you should always feel better after coming to church. It's therapy this morning, just through the worship, through the music, through the hugs, through the fellowship. God says we need healing. Now, and it's just unfortunate because, you know, this world can jack some people up. We can treat people pretty bad sometimes, too. Amen. That has nothing to do with color. I was looking up as I was doing my research on this. I was looking at the different countries where they're fighting against each other, like a country like Syria or North Korea fighting against South Korea, or in the Ukraine or in Egypt. They're fighting against, and then sometimes they'll use religion as an excuse. Certain tribes in Africa warring against each other, and we're not going to talk about in colors of same color in Compton, L.A. Watts, where we kill each other over a color and we all look one color. So we get jacked up and I don't know, God says he's going to wipe all the tears away and all the pain and sorrow because we go to heaven and we need therapy because we're jacked up. But when you look at Revelation 7 and 9, here's John is telling, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, underlying great multitude, of many people, which no man could number, of all nations. All right? This is in heaven. So a great number of people. It's going to be a lot of people there. The miracles that we would be there. Somebody say, amen, Lord, help us to get there through Jesus Christ. He said you couldn't even number the people that were there. Of all nations. That's tribes. And then of kindred and people and tongues, meaning languages. So every language will be there. Remember, God doesn't discriminate. We went from a blind beggar to a rich sinner to the woman at the well, Samaritan woman at the well. God took them all in. God ministered to them all. God went to the rich sinner's house to eat, and people talked about that. Told him if he knew what type of woman she was, he wouldn't waste no time with her. Told the blind beggar, shut up. And Jesus told him, get up. So now we look and get a glimpse of heaven, and everybody's there. Remember, God doesn't discriminate. We discriminate. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So that they're worshiping God. So what are we going to be doing in heaven besides eating fruit, all types of fruit? We're going to be worshiping God. Amen. I guess during our fruit breaks, we're going to whatever else is going to, because it's all going to be new, and the streets of gold and the pearly gates and the house with many mansions. Going to be worshiping God. So if you have a problem worshiping and humbling yourself to God now, you probably won't make it, because that's what you're going to be doing there. Verse 11, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts, four animals, said huge animals. I don't know what's up with that. But you got angels, you got elders, you got beasts, fell before the throne on their faces and worship God. Make a note, they're worshiping God. So here's a side note. We talked about it before. You and I, we will worship something. Make a note, we're built to worship and we're built to connect with God. We're built to worship and we're built to connect with God. So if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. If you're not connected to God, you're connected to something, because we're built to worship and we're built to connect. We thank God that there's many worshiping before him. It's hope for us, as long as we still have breath in our body, it's hope for us that we will be in that great multitude that's worshiping him. Verse 12 gives us insight on how to worship. So in your prayer time in the morning, highlight verse 12. If you don't know where to start, you wake up and you say, amen, which means so be it. God, whatever comes this day, comes my way this day, so be it. Blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Start there in the morning. When you wake up, if you don't know where to start, start right there. We'll go a little deeper in that in the weeks to come. And there's other verses that you can add to this, but start here. I don't know how to worship God. I don't know how to minister to God. Here it is right here. This is what they're saying in heaven. So be it. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So make a note, we're going to worship something. We're going to worship a brand. We're going to worship a logo. We're going to worship a team. We're going to worship a person. What else I got in here? We're going to worship a movie. We're going to worship songs. We're going to worship music. We're going to worship an artist. We're going to worship an actor and an actress. If you don't have God, you're going to worship something. And it's okay to honor and give tribute, which I'm going to show you in a minute, but don't worship anything but God. Don't let anything take the place of God. I'm a real big sports fan. You all know that. So I know the lures of getting caught up in your team. Try not to worship the team or the players. You got to catch myself every now and then. Somebody say amen. So let me tell you a little story. I was watching the Golden State Cleveland game again, because I saved it. Damon, because Damon's from Cleveland, man. You got us last year, but that's okay. I was watching the game again the other night because I got it saved like that. And guess who won, Jerry? Golden State won. All right. Damon, I apologize. All right. But so then I watch it with a discerning eye, though. Brother Brandon, you know how we do it. But I looked at the towards the end of the game, and it was for sure they were going to win the championship. I looked around and saw people standing up clapping. I saw them singing. I saw them raising their hands. I saw them worshiping. You're going to worship something. So whether they was worshiping the team, the name, the brand, the logo, the ball, the concept of a game, or the players, or the owners, they were worshiping during that game. They were clapping, they were raising their hands, they were saying, Warriors, they were singing, they were doing all that. It's in us. I said, my God, we're going to worship something. If you don't worship God, you are worshiping something. And family, we have to be careful. We got to catch them. Wait a minute. But see, and it's not a problem to honor things. All right, let's go. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 22. Verse 15. I told you I was all over the place. Because I don't want you to think that pastor's saying we can't have fun at a game. We can. But I'm saying, don't get caught up in worshiping things and people. Worship God only. Appreciate, give honor. I was just trying to go to one scripture, but I had to read this whole thing because it was that good. Little mama, you on your game today. Way to go, JL. Way to handle business. I'm going to say Matthew 22:15. I just wanted to get to the part where Jesus said to give honor to whom honor is due and tribute to whom tribute is due. Jesus said it's okay to honor someone. It's okay to pay tribute to someone. That's perfectly fine. But worship God only. So here we start at verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They're not interested in God. Make a note, people. Some people aren't interested in God. They just want to entangle you in talk. They don't want to know about God. They don't want to know about how their life can change. They just want to try and trap you in your words so they can say, look at you. So they don't have to get their life together. And they sent out, verse 16, they sent out unto him their disciples. Underline that. Their disciples. Not God's disciples. They sent out their disciples. Be careful. Pray for discernment when you're talking to people. You don't know who sent them to talk to you. Number one, they're trying to get you caught in a trap, and they're going to send out people to catch you in a trap. And if they did it to God, you better believe they will do it to you. And they are so smooth. Make a note. Be careful of people who say the right things with the wrong intentions. The motive behind the motive behind the motive. Be careful. Pray for discernment when someone's talking to you. What are they really? Who are they really? Number one, they look religious. Number two, they're saying all the right things. But who are they really? And that's where you got to pray for discernment. Because on looks, these guys had it all together. But their heart, Jesus said, what's with this wickedness? Their heart was wicked. God help us. When you're praying in the morning, pray for discernment. Because you're going to run into them on your job, at the gym, every place you run to and go to, you're going to run into people who are going to say the right things with the wrong intentions and want to get you trapped up in your own words. They sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, look what they say, Master. They come in real smooth. Look what they say. We know you are true and teaches the way of God in truth. Those are all the right things. And if he's not, but Jesus, and if you and I, if we're not praying for discernment like Jesus, the right things, wrong intentions get us caught up. This is a tough one. We know that you're true and teach the way of God and truth. You don't care above any man, and you don't regard the person of men. You don't care about nothing or nobody. Hear what they're saying now. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? All right. Because all they want them to say is, no, don't honor Caesar. Now they go back and tell Caesar, and Jesus is dead. We got a man who's not honoring you, Caesar. He's speaking against you. Automatic death. Look how smooth those words were. Ladies, you got to be careful when these guys come with these smooth lines. You got to be careful. And you meet them in church. You got to be careful. Or you meet them at a Christian function. Ladies, you got to be careful. You better be praying for discernment. What is he really trying to say? What do you think? I mean, it's the... And Jesus said unto them, and Jesus perceived their what? Wickedness. Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Wow. Jesus calls them right out who they are. So let's explore the word hypocrite. It's a pretender. So they're pretending. See, don't get it mixed up, okay? Because we all know we're struggling with something. I'm just not pretending, okay? I'm not pretending I don't have any struggles or issues. These guys pretending they do. That's what makes them the hypocrite. So people will tell you, I won't go to church. There's too many hypocrites in there. Right. Too many pretenders. There's too many. That statement is hypocritical within itself. So I'm going to get myself together before I come to church. I'm not going to come to churches. So that's saying, so you're telling me you don't do anything till everything's all together, right? You're not going to clean your house until your house is clean. Right. I mean, is that what you're telling me? You're not going to go to the doctor till your body is well. Because it's a lot of sick people in there. I'm not going to go to the gym because there's too many people in there that's pretending to be gym members. I'm going to wait till I get in shape, then I'm going to go to the gym. Right. See, that's hypocritical and arrogant. So I walk in the gym, I'm together and go, y'all need to get like me. Right. Or either I walk into the doctor's office and say, I'm healed, look at all y'all sick folks. Or the dentist's office, I'm not going to go to the dentist until my teeth miraculously get straight and you walking around looking like yuck mouth with the cavity creeps and you saying, I'm not going, with that line of thought, you saying, I'm not going to the dentist until I get my teeth together. I'm not going to go to school until I get a degree. That's stupid. I'm not going to go to church until I get it all together. It's the same line of thought. It's stupid. So that's hypocritical within it. So don't let people, in this orderly system of deception, people will try and tell you stupid stuff that makes sense to them, but it doesn't make sense. It absolutely makes no sense. So if we follow that line of thought, I'm not going to clean my house till my house gets clean. And we know what your house is going to look like. So Jesus calls them out on it. So you hypocrites. Why are you trying to test me? Then Jesus says, show me the money. It's that line from Jerry Maguire, Sister Sherry. See that? You see where they get all these movie lines from? Show me the money. Jesus was using that 1,000 years ago. It ain't from no movie. It's not original. They brought unto him a penny. He said unto them, whose is this image and whose subscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. He said unto them, give therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar. Give unto the things and unto God the things that are God's. Give tribute to people. Worship God only. Acknowledge people. You can even praise them. Appreciate them. Worship God only. Have to be careful. People come with the smooth lines. sounding religious, but it's not. If you and I only did things we felt like doing, somebody say, man, ain't nothing getting done. Nobody would be at work. We might like our job, but we don't love it that much. I'm just going to show up when I don't feel like it. Okay, yeah, every day I do. I'm going to go to work when I feel like it. I don't know. You look for me if you want to. Be careful when people set a trap for you, try and tell you what the Bible says. Hey, we can do this because God forgives us, right? Does God forgive everything? And here you are. Yeah, well, we can do it then and be forgiven. Just ask for forgiveness. Okay. Sounds real smooth. But I don't know if you want to do it. All right, let's go back to Revelation 22. So we're in the new heaven, we're in the new earth, we're in the doxa, we're in the glory of God, which we came from, where were we at? John 17:24. We talked about the glory of God. So this is why we're in Revelation. Verse 3, and there should be no more curse. Somebody say amen. Amen. The curse of sin is gone, so there's no more death. And let me show you one other thing, too. Before I get there, let me end with this, and then we'll pick up on this next week. Let's go to, because of the curse, let's go to, Genesis. Genesis 3:22. Like I said, and we'll elaborate more on this next week. So this is after they ate the fruit. And again, people say it's an apple, but it just says fruit here. So we see that there was fruit on the trees in Genesis, all the way to Revelation is fruit on the trees. Remember, in trees have root, and Adam should have been dealing with the root of the matter and not just the fruit on the trees. If you don't deal with the root of something, your fruit is always going to be jacked up. But here he is in verse 22, and the Lord said, after he's eaten, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. So before that, there was no sin. It was not under the curse. We didn't know good and evil. All we knew was God was good, and Adam walked with him every day. But look what he says. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. So remember, the tree of life also had its fruit that it came each month. If Adam were to eat off the tree of life, then he would live forever in the cursed state. That means we'd be in this fallen, broken world forever. We'd be trapped in these sin bodies forever. We don't want to live like that. Somebody say amen. And that's why when Jesus Christ conquered death, we just smoothly transition. There's no sting, there's no pain. We just smoothly transition into eternal life with God. But if Adam would have got a hold of the tree of life, because he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so now he knows good and evil. If he would have got to the tree of life, he would have lived forever in the sin state. We don't want to do that. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. and he got kicked out. We had this, I guess, was this at Bible study we talked? Oh, we had this at Bible study. We talked about our free will, and we talked about predestination. Why would God put them in the garden with the choice to follow him or to do their own thing? If God knows everything, didn't he know that they would do that? So did God create evil? Do we really have choice? You know, and you have six on one hand. You talk to six scholars, they'll tell you one thing. Six scholars will tell you something else. But Adam had a choice, just like you and I have a choice. If he didn't have a choice, then God wouldn't be fair. But God didn't create robots. So since God didn't create robots, then we could say, God, I choose to listen to you and I choose to follow you, or I'm going to do my own thing and take my chances. In the purpose and purity class, we talked about the influence of a woman. Why did Adam eat the fruit? Because his wife gave it to him. Amen. Women, you have a huge influence over us. We're telling the young ladies, you can help your man to become a king or a clown. Ladies, you have the option to help your man become a king or a clown. And we went over Adam, then we went over the life of Samson. Samson got turned into a clown by Delilah. A circus clown. It's the choice that we have. God didn't create robots. The influence, why did he eat it? It tells us in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant for the eyes and the tree to be desired, making one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Why did he eat it? You can say whatever you want to say. She gave it to him. The choice. Help your man to become a king and not a clown. We do have free will. And then there were the consequences also with Samson, also with them. But if they would ate that tree of life, then we would be stuck like this. So we thank God that they moved that tree before Adam could eat that. So we'll continue with the tree of life and dig a little bit more next week. Amen? Amen. So if you would just bow your head for a quick minute and we will dismiss. First it was too hot, now it's too cold. I can't keep up with y'all. But that's okay. But Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for life and that more abundantly. The Zoe, the activity, the true and genuine life that comes through Christ. It's not in water, it's not in trees, it's not in rocks, but it comes from God. So we thank you for that life, Lord. We thank you that you don't discriminate. We thank you that you make all things new. We thank you that you've given us a choice. So no one could say we were forced to trust God. We chose to trust God. We chose to commit to God. We chose to believe in God. We chose to walk with God. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we choose to worship you. We will honor and give tribute to others, but we will worship you. And though we struggle with things, Lord, we will come to church to get the ultimate healing through the power of your Holy Spirit. Regardless of what anyone might say that doesn't even make sense at all. So we bless you and we thank you. Thank you for the choice that you've given us. We choose to worship. We choose to love you. We choose to serve you. We choose to bow down and adore you, Lord. And we thank you for that. Maybe someone's here, Lord, and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I need to get saved this morning. Saved just means to be rescued. I need to be rescued. Rescued from what? From the curse that the Bible talked about. If you're not saved, you're under the curse. If you're not saved, you're not even alive. Only true life comes through Jesus Christ. Pastor, I need to get saved from the curse. Death, hell, sin, and the grave. When they ate the fruit, the curse came. Jesus Christ resurrected. He lifted the curse for all those that would put their trust in him. If that's you, elevate your hand if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to get back on track. I need to rededicate. Just feel myself just kind of sliding away. Need to rededicate. Just get refreshed and renewed with God. I want to do that today. God is there. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for that, Lord, the opportunity to be refreshed and renewed daily. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need a church home. I've been looking. I've been visiting. Today, I want to make it official. I want to become a part of South Bay Abundant Life Church. From the worship to the word, I feel God, and I know God is here, and I know I can find my purpose and my method of what God wants to do with my life through South Bay Abundant Life Church. That's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Not just members, but we are family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you, how we love you, how we appreciate you, Lord, because there's none like you. And the word today is that you are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning, you're the end, you're the first, you're the last. You make all things new. Thank you, Lord, for wiping away our tears. Thank you for giving us therapy, Lord, because we need it. Thank you that the ultimate healing comes from you. God, there's none like you, and that's why we worship, love, adore, and serve you. Even in the midst of our struggles, Lord, you said we'll overcome because you overcame. And with you in us, we have the power to overcome the stuff that we deal with daily. We're not pretenders, Lord. We're not religious. We're not here for a religious activity. We're here for a relationship opportunity. And we thank you, Lord, that you would come down and dwell with us. Thank you that we worship you. We're connected to you through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. And you are dismissed.